Welcome back to Radio Times. I'm Jeff Brady. We're going to turn to questions of rail safety in the wake of that Amtrak derailment earlier this week. Also, we're going to talk about the accident and how it might have been prevented. Joining us here in the studio is Joe Martin. He's a civil engineering professor at Drexel University. Welcome to Radio Times.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And on the telephone, we have Jeffrey Knepel. He's deputy managing editor, deputy general manager of the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority, which, of course, we all know and love as SEPTA. Welcome to Radio Times.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Joe Martin, I want to turn to you first, because among the latest news is that we're hearing a lot of talk about how this train sped up just before it was going into that curve, and sort of why that is, and nothing seems very clear. But is that sort of the big question right now?
It's probably the biggest open question, because just to take a second, that the train comes up from 30th Street, goes across at the zoo at the Schuylkill River, and then is an upgrade to, I guess, maybe 22nd Street. So from there to the curve is about a mile and a half, and none of my colleagues could figure, we thought that it would be getting to that kind of a speed, because that speed was not unusual, and the most unusual thing was the NTSB doesn't waffle at all. When they came out yesterday with 106, you know, that's the number, but nobody could figure out how it got to there.
And so how does that question get answered? that's the investigation, obviously.
Well, among the things that occurred is, comes out in the paper, we don't know why. First of all, nobody has a clue why. But the idea is that apparently that the new engines allow that to happen. You know, we don't know why somebody would have done it, but it just doesn't. For example, the Acela probably could. A freight train could never get to that speed at that time, and so a Amtrak Northeast Corridor trains are somewhere in between. But just to let you know that probably the L trains could do that. When you come out of a station in the L, the trains have such a huge power-to-weight ratio, it can keep people moving. Bottom line is, it wouldn't have been anticipated that somebody would go through from the south at that speed.
And Jeffrey Knepel, let's turn to you. What are some of the big questions that are occurring to you as we learn more about this accident?
Well, obviously, the entire industry is always concerned, especially with a tragedy of this magnitude. Yeah, we want to learn from it. We want to understand what happened. We want to make sure that things like this are prevented across the entire country. So, you know, we watch and listen very closely to hear what the NTSB and others are coming out with, and especially Amtrak. Since, you know, we run on the corridor, but it's not ours to maintain. So, you know, we do kind of wait for the information to come out.
We've been hearing a lot about positive train control, and sometimes you'll probably, during this program, hear it shortcut as PTC. That's positive train control technology. And I think I know that's a new term for a lot of us. Maybe you could help explain what is positive train control technology.
Well, and what it's really trying to accomplish is to really reduce the incidence of human error. And that's really the biggest, push for doing this, is to prevent deadly accidents. And not only just for the customers on the trains, but even for the roadway workers. In other words, the employees out on the right of way. So basically, positive train control. I mean, we have sophisticated signal systems today, and they are automatic train control. But this takes things a little bit higher level in terms of eliminating human error, and it's to prevent train-to-train collisions, to prevent incursions of trains into areas where workers are, to prevent overspeed derailments, which is probably right now of the most interest, and to prevent a train from running through a switch in the wrong position. So those are the kind of the four basic tenets of PTC.
Then how does it work? Is it sort of like an automatic pilot on a plane or something like that? What is it?
Basically, what you're doing is introducing a computer onto the train. And now the train knows where it's at. And the train is, the computer is interfacing with the what's going on the train and determining whether it's talking to the signal system, and it's determining whether the train can actually stop in time And the train now knows exactly where it's at. I mean, that's really the big difference. So it knows the speed that's authorized in a section, and it's looking ahead, and it's determining where a speed change would occur, similar to the situation with this curve on the Amtrak area there. It's determining whether the engineer will be able to brake and get down to the speed that happens when the curve comes up. So if you look at the it was actually called cab signals. It's not even as, you know, you always think about railway signals off to the side of the train and lights and all. It's actually now and has been for some time even under automatic train control, but there's a cab signals, and so the operator, the engineer, is looking over at these signals right off to the side on their unit, and it's giving the train a maximum authorized speed, and it's telling it what its current speed is, and it will make sure that it stays below the maximum authorized speed.
That's Jeffrey Canepo. He's deputy managing editor. I'm going to say that over and over again. Deputy general manager of SEPTA. We also have in the studio Joe Martin, a civil engineering professor at Drexel University. If you have questions and want to join the conversation, the telephone number is 1-888-477-9499. You can email us, radiotimes@whyy.org, or tweet us at @whyyradiotimes. Joe Martin, we've heard a lot about how this Amtrak train was traveling more than 100 miles an hour when it went into that curve, and the speed limit there is 50 miles an hour. We're all kind of focused on that, but it also sounds like from comments that you've made, you think people should maybe be thinking beyond that. I mean, we all kind of want to focus on one reason why all this happened, but investigators have to think more broadly than that, right?
Well, the curve has been there for 150 years. And so we start with the alignment of the road. And the road and the railroad is there for 150 years. And during the abandonment of the railroad, so to speak, in the late 50s and so forth, they had this huge wide right-of-way. And at that point, Amtrak picked up the right-of-way. So Amtrak owns the road, as Mr. Nepple said, that SEPTA uses it, but Amtrak owns it. And the road was designed, and there was a huge accident in 1943, and since then there's been perhaps a million trains run through there, so there's nothing wrong with the railroad. That proves the point. But on the other hand, we have a system in the northeast of the trains having to continually speed up and brake and speed up and brake because they were built, the alignment was built in the Model T area. And so much of our problems come, as Mr. Nepple said, is to alert the train driver not only to what speed he's at and what it can handle, but what's coming up. And so it would seem to be the logical thing in the future to start taking out those kinks and to try to do it, which is obviously not easy to do in the city. But a lot of the realignments of the shoreline in Connecticut were done in that way, taking out, if you will, ancient and unnecessary curves. So reexamining the alignment basically would to reduce the problem.
And back to you, Jeffrey Knepple, on the positive train control technology, because you've been deeply involved with this issue with SEPTA, and there are some reports that PTC was mostly in place along this section of track, but it hadn't been kind of turned on yet. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm watching our progress on SEPTA, and we still have a good shot at making the deadline. It might be a photo finish, but Amtrak as well is reporting that they are in good position to meet the deadline.
And we should say quickly that deadline you're referring to is a deadline set by Congress in law, that by the end of the year PTC will be in place.
It is absolutely law, and they are working. But what I think people have to remember is that what we're trying to do is prevent human error, and the system is working to make fail-safe conditions. Well, in that kind of a scenario, you have to do an awful lot of testing of all the equipment that gets put in the field, on the trains, and all of this has to be extensively tested to make sure that it's ready to be in service. So the field equipment generally does arrive and be placed in the field, but then there's extensive testing that has to go on.